Good morning. It's great to see the church so full here on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. The beginning of our service will be a little different than normal today since today is Palm Sunday. We'll have two gospel readings today. The first comes at the beginning of the service, which talks about the actual triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And the gospel lesson towards the middle of the service is going to be the continuation of John chapter 12 and the events that happened following his triumphal entry. When we get to the first hymn that we're singing today, that'll be the time that everyone will be invited forward. You'll come forward with the palms that you were given on the way into church. And our tradition here is that we put those palms at the foot of the altar, symbolizing the way that the palms were laid down at Jesus' feet as he entered in to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. So we will begin by rising. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem, with palms in their hands, gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him, with trusting and steadfast hearts, to follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
Thank you.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll read the intro together. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of this Passion is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Our reading from the Psalms this morning is a selection out of Psalm 118. We'll read the entire psalm together. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equity with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, for Isaiah again said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Kids coming up for our children's message today. While y'all are coming up here, let's each of us pick out a really good green palm branch for you each to have, okay? You can come pick one that looks good. This one looks pretty good to me. Each of y'all come up, you can come pick one out that looks good to you, okay? All right. Okay. Now you guys get something a little early today because at the end of the service, everybody out there is going to be able to take a palm branch home with them if they'd like, but you get yours early today because I want us to think about it. These are pretty palm branches, aren't they? Did you know these came from a foreign country? I think it's South America, I think, is where these came from. They came all the way from over there, and here they are in our church today, and what are they supposed to remind us about? Well, these palm branches remind us that we are entering into a very special week in the life of the church. It's called Holy Week. You know, we call this week, starting on Palm Sunday, that goes through Maundy Thursday, where we remember Jesus' Last Supper, that goes through Good Friday, where we remember Jesus' crucifixion, that goes all the way to next Sunday, where we remember the resurrection of Jesus. We call it Holy Week because this is when the most important thing in all of human history ever happened, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. That's what we keep at the center of our mind in church all the time, every Sunday, but it's something we're especially mindful of this Holy Week. Now, on Palm Sunday especially, it's the one time of the year that we get to do this cool procession where we bring these palms up, but you know, adults are kind of lame sometimes. They're not as fun as kids. Did you know that it probably didn't look like all of our adults, myself included, trudging up here and, okay, I'm going to put my palm branch down? On the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, there were children lining the streets just like you, and it was like a great big parade. And they weren't just sitting there holding these things, feeling kind of awkward. You know what they did? They were waving them. Can you guys show me how you would wave something like this if we were at a big parade? We'd be so happy, right? Almost like we'd be waving a flag at the 4th of July parade. This was a sign of Jesus coming, that they trusted that Jesus was a king, that he was the king of the people. You know, Jesus probably didn't look like a king to most people later on that week when he went to the cross for our sins. He maybe didn't even look exactly like a king on the day that his tomb was found empty because he's a different kind of king than a worldly king. He doesn't have a kingdom of this world, but he has a kingdom in heaven. And did you know that that kingdom lives in your heart too? You know, the joy that the crowds had when they greeted that day and all the children lined the street, You know, that's the joy of the kingdom of God in their house. They looked at in their hearts. They looked at Jesus and they knew that their hopes were all in him. And even if they didn't understand it all yet, how the story would play out, isn't it amazing that they were praising him and that he would go all the way to the cross to be our Savior? You know, I want you guys to take these back with you to your seats in just a minute after we pray. You can look at them through the service day and maybe even take them home and leave them in your room somewhere as a reminder of the fact that Jesus came to us on Holy Week so many years ago. And then also, you know what I'd like to see this week? I'd like to see each and every one of you on Thursday night and Friday night and next Sunday too, so we can walk the whole road of Holy Week together. Let's all pray. We'll have the congregation pray with us today. Dear Jesus, you entered Jerusalem to go to the cross and to leave behind an empty grave. Be the King of our hearts, Lord, as we praise you for your death and resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Good to see all y'all today. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sang. Through pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus, who had blessed them, close folded to his breast, the children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today, of course, is Palm Sunday, and we remember this year, as we do every year, that we are commemorating Christ's procession into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week. It's called Palm Sunday, of course, because the people used palm branches to welcome and honor Jesus as he entered into the city. Verse 13 of John chapter 12, which we read earlier, tells us that many people in Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Other accounts in the other Gospels inform us that they did spread these palm branches on the road in front of Jesus to honor him. What is the significance, though, of palm branches at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? Well, almost two centuries before this event, palm branches had begun to become associated with triumphal celebrations. Back in 164 BC, in the time between the Testaments, palm branches were used to celebrate the rededication of the temple that had been for a time occupied by Israel's enemies, but was now reclaimed by the Jews. In 141 BC, a few decades later, the Jews celebrated another victory over their enemies by honoring their leader, Simon the Maccabee, and they did that by waving palm branches in a procession for him. Palm branches, you see, had become a symbol of Jewish nationalism in the centuries that surrounded the ministry of Christ. So at this event, at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, palm branches were used to signal what was in the people's hearts, that they hoped that a new liberator had finally arrived for the people. Now today we might compare what happened on that first Palm Sunday to a celebration parade in a big city. It might look like a parade following a military victory or the conclusion of a war. Imagine a military band marching with confetti and ticker tape falling from the skyscrapers above. Or maybe more commonly, it might look like a victory celebration of a team that's just won the national championship. If your team won the Super Bowl, what would it look like in that city? In the ancient world, too, the processions were very impressive, almost like these modern-day examples. Back in the ancient world, a conquering general following a war, he would lead a parade. He would lead a parade with him at the front in a golden chariot. He would be pulled by strong stallions who were straining at the reins. He would be dressed in a royal robe and would smile with satisfaction as he reviewed his military forces. The lead warrior would then be followed by his officers in all of their polished armor. They would be followed by ranks upon ranks of soldiers carrying banners and flags. And last of all, then, in that procession would be the captives of the conquered land, who would pull wagons filled with the spoils of the war. In those types of parades, the crowds would line the streets hailing their heroes. And the message of those kinds of ceremonies and all of their pomp and circumstance was that the victors deserve glory after a military conquest. Now, if all that is the case, why is it then that the triumphal procession that takes place on Palm Sunday looks so very different? You see, on Palm Sunday, the center of attention was just an ordinary-looking man in everyday clothes, the clothes of a commoner, really. He didn't ride a chariot. He didn't ride the back of a strong steed. No, he sat on a borrowed young donkey without even a saddle, just a borrowed coat to sit upon. If you look into Luke's gospel, we see this interesting detail that as Jesus approached the city, Luke tells us he began to weep bitterly. Instead of celebrating a national victory, you see, Jesus was seeing ahead of time the future demise of Jerusalem. And the people who welcomed him that day were more of the blind and the lame and the sick and the little children than the important people in life. The crowd lining the street didn't call out hail to the chief, but rather they called out the word Hosanna, which means save us now. Just picture that parade. It's so different. It's a forlorn, weeping figure riding a lowly donkey followed by a disorganized array of lowly people. What more dramatic contrast could there be between Jesus' entry and those grandiose military processions of ancient Rome? So what's the meaning then? What's the meaning of this unconventional procession? What's the message behind what by all accounts was probably a pretty pathetic parade? It should remind us that although Jesus is a king, he's a king unlike any other king in this world. He doesn't come in military power and conquest, but rather he comes in humility and in compassion. His weeping indicates ahead of time that this is a pathway not to glory in the way we would understand it, but a pathway to sorrow and sacrifice. Why is Jesus entering into the city? Actually, it is to accomplish exactly what the people were crying out for. The crowds called out, "Hosanna," meaning save us. And Jesus comes to do just that, to save them. He comes to bring them salvation. He comes to sacrifice his life at the city where ritual sacrifices are made. He's come at Passover to offer himself up as the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover ritual. He comes to save humanity from its ultimate enemies, the enemies of sin and death and hell. The palm procession took place on Sunday of that week, but another procession would take place soon thereafter. Just 5 days later on Friday, again the focus would be on Jesus. This time he's not carried by a donkey, but instead he's carrying something himself. He is bearing the burden of a heavy wooden cross. He wears only the lacerations on his body of a brutal scourging. This time he's not going into the city of Jerusalem, he's going out of it to Golgotha, the place outside of the city walls, the place of execution. And there are soldiers in this procession, but they're there to serve as Jesus' executioners. Along this path, too, there are many tears from the women in the crowd. This path is called the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Sorrows. Yet Jesus, who had wept for Jerusalem as he entered it, doesn't weep now. Instead, he sets his face resolutely as he exits the city, because his face is set to meet his death. Instead of sounding the call of Hosanna, on this day, the crowd will sound out the call, "Crucify him." It's a very different procession on Friday as compared to Palm Sunday. What's the meaning of Friday's procession? Well, the message is this, that Jesus will not save himself, but he will give himself up as a sacrifice to save others, to save the world, really. He is the sacrificial lamb who will give his life as a ransom for many. Sunday's cry of Hosanna is fulfilled, finally, in Friday's cry of "It is finished." Palm Sunday's summons to save us is accomplished in Good Friday's sacrifice. You see, as we stand together on this Palm Sunday, we remember that Palm Sunday is actually not just an event of the past. Palm Sunday is also a promise for the future. Did you know that in one other place in the Bible envisions a day in which people from across the globe will come together to honor the one who died for them and will do so with palm branches in their hands? Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10 says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" It's a picture of the wonderful culmination of all things that comes at the last day. You see, it's because of this Lamb who is slain that we have salvation. It's because Jesus went the way of the cross that we've been rescued from sin. It's because our Lord died a death that we deserve that we now live eternally. So today on this Palm Sunday, we can cry out, "Hosanna, save us," trusting that he has, and trusting this week we remember the depths to which he has gone. And we remember, of course, as we walk our Holy Week journey with him, that as Jesus trod the path from Hosanna all the way to the cross, one day too, we're going to join in a great crowd too, with palm branches in our hands, as it says in Revelation, crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God." That's the way we'll finally come to honor the one who has saved us and honor him eternally. So may God bless your Holy Week journey as we journey together to the cross and ultimately to the empty tomb. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, Christ our Lord did not count his equality with you something to be held on to, but instead he humbled himself. Give us a mind that is like his to humble ourselves too, and to find your greater blessing in the life of the world that is to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. So fix the faith of your church upon Christ's death for our salvation. Enrich the proclamation of this gospel and enliven our hearts to live out this faith until Christ comes again in glory. May your gospel go out to all ends of the earth, and so that this might take place, bless all missionaries, especially those connected to our congregation, Julie Oftob and John and Jen Wolf. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you did sacrifice your own Son on the cross that we would all be called your children. We ask that you would increase the faith of all earthly Christian fathers, that they would receive Jesus and his sacrifice for them, and would also be enlivened to a sacrificial love for their children. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God and King, your Son entered into Jerusalem as the true ruler, poised to lay down his life for his people. Give the same mind to those who are in authority over us, that they would discharge their duty selflessly, even to the least among us. And we pray also that they would receive your commendation as they follow your will. Lord, we pray also that you would bless the service of all our nation's military personnel, especially remembering before you Christopher Brand, Caleb Burton, Warren Evans, Jake Haygood, Caleb Pyle, Ryan Spray, and Byron Taylor. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of hosts, your Son Jesus came to deliver his people from all evil. We pray that you would take away the fear of all who suffer in this world, and we pray that you would attend to all of their needs as we lift them up before you. We ask your blessing upon Marie Ashitabi, Brianna Beasley, Melinda Bennett, Don Buck, Beverly Desmond, Charlene Frankie, R.C. Frankie, Tommy Frankie, Marion Fritchie, Nellie Gonzalez, Evelyn Hoschke, Dolores Karish, Morgan Ray Karish, Evelyn Casper, Thelma Kieschnick, B. Killian, Audrey Koenig, Kristen Laws, Richard Laws, Rose Lehman, Kevin Margeson, Clarence Mitschke, Diana Mitschke, Lillian Peach, Betty Richter, Lane Schramm, Marie Schultz, Laverne Schultz, and Amy Wagner. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and we praise you, Father, that you've sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and we ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us that the answer to your people's prayer of Hosanna is in the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is he who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. Couple announcements today. The first is to look at our calendar for this upcoming week. We'll be coming together again on Thursday night and Friday night for worship services at 7 p.m. Thursday night, of course, is the remembrance of Jesus' Last Supper, and Friday is a Good Friday service remembering Christ's death. We will be sharing a fellowship meal on Thursday evening at 6 p.m., so please do make plans to attend and have a time of fellowship together that evening. On Sunday the 17th, there are a couple things on the weekly calendar that we need to amend or make a couple corrections to. The first is we will be having our Easter breakfast, which is after our 7 a.m. sunrise service at the park. So 7 a.m. sunrise service at the park as we did it last year, followed by the Easter breakfast at the park. We put down 8 o'clock. It'll roughly be, you know, that time given, depending on kind of when the service lets out from 7. Then we'll be back up here at 9 a.m. next week to have our Easter Easter service here. And we will be having the kids singing for us during that time and doing a little rhyme that they've put together talking about the significance of Easter. After that, at 10:15, is not Sunday school and Bible study, but an Easter egg hunt to follow for the kids outside as we've done in each year. So there's a little typo there. The other things are that if you'd like to bring flowers for next week to help decorate the sanctuary, please do so on Saturday. We'll have the tomb facade on the front of the church, so to bring those flowers in, you'll come up the ramp here through this side door, and you can leave them here. They'll be arranged by some of the ladies who will take everything that's together and put them on and around the altar in a way that makes sense given all of the ones that have been donated. And today you can take palm branches with you after the service home if you'd like to take those, as we talked about with the kids. All right, the last announcement I have is we have some funeral arrangements to announce for Johnny Schrader, who's a member at Grace in Smithville, and I know related to a number of people in the congregation. Just so everyone's aware, his visitation will be Monday from 5 to 7 at Mars Jones Funeral Home in Smithville, and his funeral service will be this Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Grace in Smithville. All right, any other announcements today? Yes. Okay.
And if anyone is available today at 4,
they're filling
Easter eggs.
Okay. So just everybody can hear in the back, if you'd like to help fill Easter eggs for the Easter egg hunt, that's going to be happening at 4 o'clock this afternoon up here. And if you have a child or grandchild that is singing next week, be sure and have them over here to the sanctuary by 8:30. That way they can run through their song one last time before singing for the entire group. All right. Anything else? Yes. I'm sorry, the Ed building at 8:30, not the sanctuary. I'm sorry.
It's a long commute.
Yeah, I misspoke. Okay, let's close with our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.